You're listening to an Irreverent podcast. Visit Irreverent FM for more content from my friends.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Bad Words, an evangelical podcast where we give toxic theology the read that it deserves by taking another look at some of the books that have been given major influence in evangelical Christianity. This season, we are reading Wild at Heart by John Eldridge and Captivating by John and Stacey Eldridge, losing the plot on manhood and womanhood one chapter at a time. I am your host, Janice Legata, and I'll be ripping up this week's chapter with a good member of the Bad Book Club. Co-host, introduce yourself, please.
I'm Lo Whipple. Use any pronoun. I've come to a place in my like gender journey where I'm just like, whatever. I'm like, you could use anything. I don't care. And yeah, I'm a grad student. I'm going to school to become a therapist, focusing on a lot of spiritual trauma, which I have a bit of. I was a worship leader for 15 years. So I started leading worship when I was 15 years old, which shouldn't be allowed, I think. I was like the worship leader and I was 15. Yeah. So I kind of grew up on stage of a mega church, doing that, bounced around from different churches as one does. And then I ended up in Iowa, of all places, leading worship for the student ministry there, which was like, I don't know, like 3,000 kids. And I figured out I was queer somewhere along in that journey. And I came out and I was living very authentically, even working in these churches. And I was like, oh, it must be okay. And then it turned out it wasn't. So I left the church. They told my kiddos that I was pursuing a music degree. Our music career, instead of telling them the truth that I was disrespected as a queer person. So that's like a little bit of my, that's a very quick version of my very tumultuous spiritual trauma. And so now, yeah, I'm gonna be a therapist and help queer folks, hopefully, with their own spiritual stuff. So That's me.
Excellent. So we'll get started with the reading of the opening paragraph. We'll have a discussion and then hear the closing paragraph and send you on your way. For additional context and conversation and the option to listen to these episodes with no ads, I invite you to join the people of Jod by becoming a Jodly or Jod-willing patron on Patreon. But either way, I'm happy you're here and I hope you're ready, because without further ado, let's get into
Captivating Chapter 8. Isn't this what makes our hearts beat more quickly? Our knees weak when we watch Daniel Day-Lewis in The Last of the Mohicans, William Wallace in Braveheart, Aragorn in The Lord of the Rings, or Harrison Ford in nearly any of his movies? Isn't that what we, as women, long to experience from our man, and from the men in our lives? To experience the strength of a man is to have him speak on our behalf. For when men abuse with words, we are pierced. Their strength has wounded us. When they are silent, we are starved. They have offered no strength. They have abandoned us. But when they speak with us, hear us, offer their words to us and on our behalf, something in our hearts is able to rest. How are you? Is one of the simplest and most loving questions John ever asks me.
So when, where, how, why did you first become aware of this book?
I think I was aware of the other one, Wild at Heart, more than this one for some reason. But when I saw the title of this one, I thought it was that it's like a novel about a prostitute and she gets married and like her husband like
redeeming love.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. For some reason, which like of course like all the titles are the same, so like it's easy to mix them up. But like I was thinking about that one and then I was like, oh yes, okay, I remember this. I've never read it before, but I remember like some like my cousins and stuff going to, was there like Wild at Heart conferences and stuff? Yep. Probably. I remember them going to those, but I fortunately never read this one.
So how did you feel about the prospect of reading a chapter of this?
I was like, wow, this will be interesting. I was strangely excited to read it. Is that weird? Because I was like, I have these thoughts in my head where I'm like, okay, I know like these Christian books are really bad, mm-hmm. but it's another thing to like look into it and be like, this is why. And also being like on the other side of being in that circle, it's healing in a way to go back and be like, no, this is actual shit. like it's good to go back and look at it and be like, oh, yep, okay. So yeah, it was good to go and read it again from the other side of being past the most traumatic parts, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what chapter did you have and what was it about?
Yeah, I had chapter 8. It seems to be about... Also, I was like, on the cover it says revised and expanded. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
They thought 5 years later, or how many years later, they were like, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. But okay, so chapter 8, beauty to unveil. It seems like they're trying to define what a woman's beauty is. And the best I could come up with was like, it seems like they think that beauty is rest, authenticity, and being present. And I was like, yeah, I can get down with that. I was like, totally. But then as they keep talking about like being authentic isn't actually authenticity, it's just so confusing. I mean, there's like contradiction one after the other in this whole chapter. And I was blown away by the fact that they're like, a woman's beauty is blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, they open up with what a man is. I was like, what? Like, literally, the first sentence, the essence of a man is strength. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like, huh? Okay.
Cool.
I was just like, okay, so already a woman's beauty is only through the lens of what a man is. Like, first we have to define what a man is, then we can talk about women, which, like, binary language already problematic, right? But, like, yeah, I was just cracking up.
Like, it starts out just bad from the beginning. And I mean, one of my many issues with this book is them just trying to draw that binary all the time between what is manly, what is masculinity, what is femininity, and then to like try to use God to do it. And so, yeah, they say the essence of a man is strength. And then use this verse about the warrior God. And I'm like, the only reason you're saying this is a masculine thing is because that's what you're putting on it. But God also refers to themselves. God is referred to in feminine terms, but they never, you know, acknowledge that or use that unless they're trying to draw one of these binaries. But I'm like, this is not, nowhere in here does it say, you know, this, who is this coming from Edom? It is a man. Like, it is the man God with his God penis. And this is, you know, only the male God. Yeah. So, like, women also have strength and can be strong and can have this verse applied to them. So why are we doing this?
Like, doing this. Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah. That was like my biggest issue. I think I was like, as a therapist, I was like, this is like a huge thing that therapists deal with, is like getting men to feel their feelings and getting women to allow themselves to be angry. It creates this expectation that women are not allowed negative feelings and men are not allowed soft feelings. And it's like, we're all human beings, we feel the gambit. Right. And if you don't allow yourself to feel those things, it's not going to be good. Like, you're going to, that's when you have issues, when you're like, no, that's not an okay emotion. It's just going to get all blocked up. And ooh, yeah, that, I noticed that a lot in this chapter.
So, yeah. Yeah. What are some things that stood out to you? Yeah. What do you want to take apart in this chapter?
I thought it was hilarious as a gay that isn't this what makes our hearts beat more quickly? Our knees weak when we watch Daniel Day-Lewis in The Last. I was like, no. I was like, men don't do it for me. So I was like, I just wrote down like, no.
And guys, we're still on the first page.
Yeah, that's like the first paragraph. And she brings that up over and over again. It's like men that with their muscles. And I was like, ew. I feel sick.
And it's like a very, that's not, I like men and not, these aren't doing it for me. And then also I was like, first of all, they're pretending Stacy wrote this, but all of this is John, because John is the movie guy and these are his movies. But then I was like, then just being really nitpicky, and because I've been in this book too long, but I'm like, why is it Daniel Day-Lewis in The Last of the Mohicans, so the actor, William Wallace in Braveheart, so the character, Aragorn in Lord of the Rings, so the character, and then Harrison Ford, so now we're back to the actor in any movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are we doing here? Why is it the character? Are we looking at the men? What are we looking at here? And again, why? Like, we didn't need to do this. If you just wanted to name one of these men and just give one, but like, you're naming four things that, if it doesn't affect, none of these do it for me. None of these do it for you. So it's...
Yeah.
Okay, so then already, oh no. I might not be a woman. Because these, they don't make my heart beat more quickly. And my knees are fine.
I'm fine. I'm standing. I'm good. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and that, I feel like that's where the contradictions start, at least in this chapter, is like, then they start talking about a woman is not only this, this, and this, but yet if they're implying that if these men don't do it for you or whatever, then you're not a woman. So what, I was like, I think I wrote at one point, I was like, I have a feeling they're going to tell us what a woman is, but I'm not sure where we're going with that. I was like, I have a feeling they're going to lay it out, but then they're going to say, but a woman is authentic. And it's like, none of those things go together. None of those things make sense. None of it.
And yeah, and this, yeah, putting out these men, and again, these are either actors and or fictional characters.
Right.
I'm like, why are you not using, at the very least, apparently this, allegedly this is a Christian book based on the Bible. Right. Why are we not talking about
biblical
some
characters?
Biblical men? Or like actual men, like this president or this world leader or this person who discovered this or whatever. Like, why? Like, it's purely just this physical performance.
Right.
And that's what strength is. And then we get into beauty, which already, like, Wild at Heart says that, you know, the man's number one question is, do I have what it takes? And then a woman's number one question is, am I lovely? Like, that's what we all want to know.
That's it.
So this is a big chapter because it's all about beauty, and this is how we become lovely. And I don't know, I got to the end and I was like, well, I guess the answer to my question is no.
I guess they said no. Yes. Yeah. Also live, just like, they really said that, like, to experience the strength of a man is to have him speak on our behalf. What?
Yeah.
I was like, they wrote those words and we're like, this is good. Whoa. I was shocked. It's like that. Yep. And the end of that paragraph is like, how are you is one of the simplest and most loving questions John ever asked me. I wrote down, are you okay?
I said, that is so basic. It's sad.
Yes. Yes. I was like, oh no. She's not okay.
She's not.
She's not. There's no way.
It's in Wild at Heart, I think. Or is it? I don't know. Somewhere it talks about where she has... or had, like, dizzy spells for, like, 10 years. And he's talking about praying over her, and, I mean, it happens here a little bit, too, but that taking his authority, you know, and speaking to the devil or whatever. But she hadn't told him she had had dizzy spells for 10 years. And I was like, what is wrong with this relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, she just thought that was normal, and she had never mentioned it to me. I was like, I'm worried about...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
This relationship, this woman, This is not. And then, yeah. How are you? That's one of the most.
That's the kindest thing he could. I'm like, what? Oh man, we gotta. So many of the things, like my couples counseling training, is like bing bing bing. Like, I'm like, oh shoot. We could start there. Yeah, jeez. I just got like the impression over and over is like, this could be any human asking questions like that. I think like the part where she's talking about how he prays over her and like then she felt bad. She had this like despair and hopelessness and then he came in and prayed over her and it was gone. And I was like, that could be any human being coming and being like, let me be with you during your depression. And that in itself is healing. I was like, you don't have to add this like manly strength on top of it. You don't have to add like even prayer. I mean, people can pray, that's great. But I'm like, you don't have to add the spiritual element over the top of it. Like he was like casting out demons of your depression. Like he was just there for you. He was a human being in the time that you felt depressed and that was healing. And that's great. We don't have to add all these layers. It's like, it's not because he's a man.
But it is because he yeah. began to take his authority over me as my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the yuck, yikes
mm-hmm.
for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh. But again, that's what they're building up to, right? So a man's mm-hmm. essence is strength. So he's got the strength. So here she is, just this woman. And I can't take authority over this thing that's attacking me. I need this man to come with his strength and shield me because all I can do is rest here and be beautiful. And
all I can do.
It's all I can do.
It's all I have. It's just so, it's so sad. It's like women have no autonomy. Women have nothing. And later on they talk about, which, oh, that's another thing. The way that these types of Christian relationships, because I don't think all of them are like this, but the way that these are is such a, I don't know what the word is, it is a space that enables abuse so easily. Mm-hmm. And it's that, like, women don't have autonomy, so they have to just, like, let it happen. And I think there's a part later in the chapter that, like, this woman was like, she knew her husband wasn't there for her, but she flourished anyway. And I was like, that's not okay. Like, she's allowed to not be happy in that relationship if her husband doesn't get her. Like,
yeah.
Ugh, I was like, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They're just like, but in spite of him not loving her the way she needs to be loved, I was like, get out, girl. Get out. You can leave. It's okay.
Yeah, that was one of those. Yeah, our friend Tammy was in a bad marriage. Mm-hmm. Her husband was verbally abusive. Rather than becoming hard and cynical, she remained soft. And so then that ends with, even though he chose not to respond, she retained her feminine beauty and offered it as much as she could. And that was, I put, oh, I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of my big issues with this book, with evangelical Christianity as it's taught, is it's just a lot of spiritual busy work at the end of the day. Like, I don't understand. It talks about, you know, to possess true beauty, we must be willing to suffer. Sort of written, well, it seems like, yeah, they're saying beauty seems to require a lot of suffering. I don't like that. Just writing it down makes my heart shrink back. Yet, if Christ himself was perfected through his sufferings, why would I believe God would not do the same with me? And I'm like, because it was supposed to be for me that Christ did all this. So I don't understand, why are we still, why do I have to suffer if Jesus paid that price? Why are we still under the curse if Jesus came to break everything?
Yeah.
I'm like, it just seems like this useless, vicious cycle, because you were born a woman, so you were born under this curse. And I don't know, I guess all Jesus did was snatch us from hell, but just barely, because you still have to have it here. And you just got to figure that out, I guess.
Right. Good luck. Like, that's never, it's never made any sense to me. Like, this idea of atonement has never made any sense to me. And, like, growing up, people would talk about, oh, suffering is a sign of that you're doing it right. And I was like, why? I don't know. That seems contradictory. And it just never made any sense to me. And no one could explain it to me either. So I was like, well, I don't know then. Yeah. But, like, yeah, that part, she's like, we have to suffer. And I was like, why?
Why?
Why? Maybe we don't. I don't know. Just maybe like not.
Unsubscribe. I like to opt out. Can I try something different?
Yeah. And then that, like, me getting, I'm getting my high horse, but it's so, it's offensive to the people that are marginalized then. It's like, oh, your suffering is a sign that God is good. It's like, fuck you. Like, no. Tell that to people that were in slavery. Tell that to the queer people being, their lives being debated. Tell that to, like, no, that's not, it's just because you're a white Christian person in America that you're like, the suffering I feel is a good representation that God loves me. And I'm like, mm-mm. If you were living in poverty in America, you would not be saying that. Like,
right.
You just wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Yeah, but they have no context for any of that.
Mm-mm.
Like, and this is a very, very white theology written by very wealthy white people who, and everybody has issues, everybody has problems. They have problems, obviously. Like, they are not
their marriage doesn't seem right. We've diagnosed that.
this is not great. But also, like, it's just bizarre that this is the thing y'all chose to write about, and people allowed you to do this and platform this.
Yeah.
And it's insane and just not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, and Wild at Heart, it's like the fourth chapter, I was like, oh, okay, this book hates women.
Mm.
It just hates them. And Captivating, it's not as blatant, but it just comes through. Because it does, like, to say that the essence of a woman is beauty, like, that's what we're here to bring, and that's what we offer to the world. But then to also say, you know, surely you would agree that God is nothing if not beautiful. Okay, cool. All around us, God's creation shouts of his beauty and his goodness. So if creation is doing it,
mm-hmm.
What am I here for? Like, I don't even get my own thing. Like, creation's not shouting about strength, right? Like, only man can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But all of creation is shouting God's beauty. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also you guys too.
You were there too.
Right.
Go have a tea party. She's like obsessed with tea parties. She talks about them all the time. God forbid you don't like tea parties. You're not a woman.
You're not.
You're not a woman if you don't want to have tea parties. You can have them in the forest, but you got to have a tea party.
You got to have a tea party. Come to my tea party, and we're going to talk about how hot Harrison Ford is.
Yeah. In any movie, though. Any movie. Doesn't have to be. You're not limited to one movie. Oh, my gosh. The way that they, like, I was really struck by how anytime they talk about a woman's beauty being internal and not external, the only examples they have are external. They talk about their friend June, and they're like, she's beautiful with these dangling earrings and pretty flowing skirts, and her eyes sparkle when she laughs, and blah, 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 and then the shoe's supposed to drop, right? It's like that, like, paragraph break. And they're like, and June was 75 years old.
That's the big reveal.
June.
You never would have guessed.
You never would have guessed she was an old woman. I was like,
we said she was beautiful.
I was like, oh God, like, don't age. Don't age. Like, you're not allowed to age. You're not allowed to get older. Oh my gosh.
But you're also not allowed to be young because mm-hmm. they were contrasting her.
The assistant.
With Janet, who is 21.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And is on the dance team, and so she runs and does whatever, and like is out here literally trying to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so they punch her down for that because they're like, her beauty doesn't work because she's trying too mm-hmm. hard.
She's striving.
Meanwhile, our friend June is one of the most beautiful women we've ever met. We're going to build her up, and then we're going to shock you by telling you how old she is. And then they said, you know, what is the difference between these two women? And I said, about 50 years.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
You cannot pay me to do any of my 20s again. You don't know it when you're in it, but, like, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, and yes, society does not like women to age, and fine. But, like, there is just a sense of security and just a sense of yourself that you just have that you just don't have when you're younger. Like, you just can't. You haven't built it yet. And so for June, yeah, when I first read this book, I might have been like, oh, my God, 75. Can you even imagine? That's so, that's so old. And now to be like, oh, no, actually, I vibe with that. Like,
yeah,
you better be beautiful at 75 because you've got your shit together.
You've been through some things. Yeah, right. Exactly. I was like, I laughed out loud. I was like, oh, no, 75.
75. And beautiful can be.
What?
That's a miracle. God is real.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Beauty dwells in every woman. We've seen it so many times, counseling women of all ages. And then I was like, you counsel people too? Oh, no. So many things.
Yeah.
I feel like I wrote a ton on that. Yes, Janet is 21. She's on a dance team, small and petite, with a fabulous figure. I circled it, and I was like, what's that mean? And then they had the gall to talk about eating disorders for a second, which is like mm-hmm. where I get on my high horse again. I'm kind of studying the parallels of spiritual abuse and eating disorders. And so like, it's really interesting because it's really, really common. Think about like purity culture and like shaming and stuff. And like, it's a very acceptable thing to take control of your body and eating. A lot of people maybe would turn to substance use or alcohol or stuff like that. But being in like a high control Christian environment is way more common to be able to take control of your food than it is to like smoke or do some drugs or drink or whatever. It's like way easier. And so it's like the parallels and the commonalities in there. So I saw eating disorder and I was like, don't you even. I was like, don't go there. And they kind of did. They didn't go as far as I thought they would, but yeah, I was like, mm-mm.
But they also, they just throw out these sentences and they just say a lot. They say many, yeah. And they say so many all the time. And so even that, like, unlike so many women in that world of competitive beauty, she escaped an eating disorder. So it's, like, yeah. you're just taking shots at random women. Mm-hmm. Just because you can't, because you didn't, this sentence, you didn't need this.
No.
We didn't need it.
But then they also go on to say, like, she runs 5 to 10 miles a day. She watches what she eats. And I'm like, so she does maybe have some, like, maybe she doesn't meet the DSM criteria for an eating disorder, but she probably has some disordered eating, which is, like, still something to pay attention to, you know? Right. I was like, okay, well, all right. An extra 2 pounds is a crisis. Okay, yeah, that sounds like an eating disorder to me. Yes. Sounds like she didn't escape. And then I started writing a whole bunch of stuff about, like, and where did that come from? Probably from you. Probably from the expectations on her life and the amount of stress that she's under to be the perfect woman or to be beautiful or whatever you're wanting her to be, but
right.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't work. And yet, mm-hmm. when you're with her, your heart does not rest. First of all, she's 21. What are either one of you doing with her? Like,
yeah. She's probably not real.
She's not.
Sure. They just made up some girl. She's not real.
But like, what 21-year-old do you go to relax with? Like,
right. Correct.
I just vibe with them because they just bring such a restful energy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, again, this is the difference between these two made-up women. 50 years. Mm-hmm. No one at 21 is supposed to be giving you a sense of rest. If you can't bring that yourself, forget it. Don't put that on her. Mm-hmm. And then to like, oh, build her up and here's all this and this, but her beauty impresses, but it does not invite. Invite who?
Who's it supposed to invite?
To as do if what? She's,
yeah, as if that's her job. She's supposed to be inviting people at all times. Like that. That's a lot of pressure.
That's too much.
Yeah.
That's too much. Mm-hmm. And the reason is simple. She is striving. Why? Why on earth would she think she needed to strive? What would give her that idea? Mm-hmm. Other than everything in this book.
Everything. Even just like the shoulds and should nots. Like, I know this is a verse, but like, your beauty should not come from outward adornment. Like, the shoulds and should nots, that implies striving. Like, it implies that you have to try. But then you're not supposed to try because then you're ugly.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
You can't. Like, there's literally no way to win. This whole book is an exercise in, I don't know what the right answer is, but I know I'm getting it wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys never say, here's what it is to be a woman. You just say, it's not that. It's not that. It's not that. And it's not that. And that thing that you are, it's not that.
Not that either.
But if you were doing the other thing, it wouldn't be that either.
Right. Right. It's never right.
Never. It's never, because it's never not right. It's not Janet because she's young, and it's not June because she's old. Mm-hmm. And it's not Janet because she's trying. And it's kind of June because she's not trying, but also everything that we describe about her is outside things. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. Just every earring, so.
Her skirt. The things that she has put on to cover up her old-ass oldness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also about, like, how they make other people feel, too. It's like, Janet, the 21-year-old, you'll never feel restful. You'll always be, like, whatever they describe it as. Your heart is pacing or something. And then the 75-year-old, you're like, you'd feel so loved and welcomed. And it's like, so what I'm getting is women are supposed to make other people feel things. Like, that is their job, which makes sense in like the scheme of they're supposed to be there for the men. Mm-hmm. Just patriarchy, you know?
Through and through.
I underlined this. Lady Folly's door is the mouth of an open grave. Lady Wisdom's home is the passageway to discernment, holiness, and life. And I was like, huh? Wait, what? Who are these ladies? What? I was like, what is... Like, I know the Bible kind of a little bit, but not as much as I probably should have, knowing my history being in the church so long. I know worship songs more than I know the Bible. I'll see, like, people quoting scripture, and I'm like, oh, that's a song. Like, I don't know where it came from. But I was like, where's this Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom? I was like, what does that mean? I was like, Lady Folly's door is the mouth of an open grave. I was like, that's so dramatic.
That's so dramatic.
So dramatic.
And all of this... So, yeah, I don't even, the Bible, Proverbs definitely talks about wisdom. Mm-hmm. Maybe it calls the other woman folly. But all of it, yes, wisdom stands at the door and whatever. But it's all these stories of a youth going to these different houses and mm-hmm. whatever. But that's on the man. Like, I think anyone, all of us can be wisdom or folly, depending on what we're doing and what we're supposed to be doing at the time. I'm not good for some people. We shouldn't be in a relationship. That's why we're not. We're not mm-hmm. good for each other. So for you, I might be folly, but that doesn't make me full-time folly. Like, That's all I am.
Right.
And like, right. And that's up to us to be wise and figuring out, okay, what works for me and what doesn't, and where do I need to be and who do I need to be associating with and not. But to make this woman out to be just bad all the time.
Yeah.
Like, and to go in that direction is just going to be bad for everyone under all circumstances. It's not true.
Yeah. It's so reductive. It's like, this is an open grave. Oh my God. And then the opposite of that, the passageway to discernment, holiness, and life, I was like, they're not even the opposite of each other. I mean, no. I guess life would be the opposite of death, maybe, but like, it didn't match in the level of drama to me. And I was like, maybe that's me being nitpicky, but I guess I can be.
But you can be, because even... So right before that, I was talking about beauty. Beauty beckons mm-hmm. us. Beauty invites us. Come, explore, immerse yourself. God, beauty, himself. Wait a minute. This is supposed to be our book, our chapter, our essence, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So he would strengthen himself. You can't even give it to us right here. Like God, beauty, herself, for her. We can't even have that. No, God is beauty. Yep. And then this book is, you know... Just creepy sexual, just at weird times. So this whole thing about, you know, come, explore, immerse yourself. All this about, you know, being invited in and all, okay, calm down.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, what if they get so close? Because what if, okay, if God is beauty and all things are beauty, what if instead of putting the perimeters around it and here's where beauty can be and what it can be, what if we said, yeah, mm-hmm. everything is beautiful. And everything is out there to explore and to immerse yourself in. And we don't need this book because I don't need to tell you, here's the box for women and you have to sit in this box to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. All of creation is open to you.
Yeah.
All of humanity is open to you. And you are welcome to explore and to immerse yourself in whatever parts of it work for you. Mm-hmm. That would be such a beautiful just opening of it all.
Yeah.
But then they're like, no.
That's not it.
That's not it.
That's not it. And that's like, that's what I was like, okay, authenticity, rest, being present. I was like, yeah, like that's it. And I was like, you're so close.
So close.
If only they didn't have, like you said, like that giant box around it. I was like, we could be there. And yet.
And yet.
And yet. She said, a woman who is hiding invites others to do the same. Don't be vulnerable, hide yourself. A woman who makes herself vulnerable and available for intimacy invites others to do the same. I was like, okay. And then she said, at the end of that paragraph, a woman who is controlling cannot invite others to rest. They will feel controlled in her presence. It won't feel safe there. And I was like, yeah. Take out the word woman. A person. A person who feels controlled. Like, it won't feel safe there. I was like, exactly. Like in your book. It doesn't feel safe here. It feels like you're controlling me. It's like, you're so close.
So close.
So close.
And then just, yeah.
And then so yeah. wrong.
And so in that, and skipping ahead a little bit, when she was talking about, she asked John for his help. Oh, she wanted him to spend more time with the family, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, asked for his help. I didn't demand him to come through. I didn't whine. I expressed my need and invited his strength, his presence. To my surprise, John told me in my vulnerability to him, I had never been more feminine or more beautiful. And I had to take a break and go throw up.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, oh, yes. What?
Uh-huh.
What?
Yep. I wrote in big letters, this is the problem. I was like, this is the problem. Oh, and at the top of that page, it says master's degree in counseling. I said, oh, no.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, there are some bad therapists out there, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had never been more feminine or more beautiful. Just by expressing that she needed him around. Like, are you okay?
She's not okay.
She's not okay.
She is not okay. And like, I mean, this book is a work of fiction. I highly doubt
anything
90%
happened.
Of things happen in this book. No. But imagine a man saying that.
Like, you're right. Like, having that conversation, I just imagine him taking her hands. This is kind of like it's like a conversation that would happen on The Bachelor. Like, or like the SNL's version of The Bachelor, you know? Like, I love this. And then he like takes her face in his hands and he's like, right now, you've never been more feminine or more beautiful. Like, it's not real life. It's not real life.
And again, because this book is weirdly, cringily, just sexual at odd times.
It is.
I'm like, I know, then I know what happens next, and that's disgusting.
I hate it. I hate it.
Because this whole thing is about offering beauty and, like, inviting people into your garden. Mm-hmm. And, like...
He goes and puts on his Harrison Ford costume, and because that's his version of sexy strength. I hate it.
It's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is so tricky because all of this requires men can be strong and do whatever without women. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in Wild at Heart, a lot of his thing is like, do not look to women. It's like only masculinity can bestow masculinity. You can't look to women for your strength.
Right.
But everything in this, we can only find our beauty or have it confirmed or affirmed in a man.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
having a husband or having a father. Like, these are the only people who can tell us that, oh, you're doing it right.
Right.
And yeah, these are the only people that we can invite in and offer mm-hmm. our beauty to. And so you have to have that to be beautiful.
Right. Yeah. It's women's beauty through the lens of a man, and which it makes total sense why they'd start the chapter off talking about a man, because it's like, you're only beautiful as a man says that you are.
Right.
Right. Totally. Patriarchy.
Right. Solo, you're out.
I'm out. I know. Oh my gosh, yes. I'm not in this book. I don't exist, so it's fine. Oh my god. Oh, the risky section. Okay. The risky section really got my blood boiling because... Let me find where I wrote it. Ah, yes. It says, we can't wait until we feel safe to love and invite. In fact, if you feel a little scared, then you're probably on the right path. No, this is a huge thing that I've been kind of deconstructing with my own therapist of, like, bodily autonomy. If you feel scared, it's for a reason. Your body is telling you this isn't safe, and you should pay attention to that. You shouldn't go into it further. Like, your body is quite literally telling you, like, it's our reptilian brain saying, we're not safe here. It's a clue to tell you to get out. It's not God saying, keep going. Like, that's not it. It's not. Science says, that's not it. Like, don't do that to yourself. You don't have to torture yourself. If you're like, I feel a little scared about this relationship or about what I'm doing. Like, that is something to pay attention to. It's not something to ignore and keep doing further. Like, you're gonna hurt yourself.
Right.
You're gonna do some damage. And that's where a lot of our spiritual trauma comes from. It's like that idea that, like, if you're suffering or if you feel afraid, that's like confirmation that you're doing it right. And it's like, no, really it's not. It is really, really not.
Yeah, so much of Christianity, and then specifically purity culture,
mm-hmm.
teaches us to bypass all the signals, but like in different just in the wrong way mm-hmm. every time. Mm-hmm. Because purity culture will put all this fear into you about relationships. Yeah. And so I know people who been in relationships with non-Christians, and that person is great, and things are going great. But then having that fake fear of, oh, but they're not a Christian, so yeah. I can't. And then like ending good relationships because you're afraid you're doing the wrong thing. But then if this person was a Christian and did have red flags and bad behaviors, then you're taught to like bypass those signals yes. because, mm-hmm. no, because it's risky. And you have to be vulnerable. And because they checked this one right box, now I have to bypass all of these things. And maybe even that could be worked on if you could talk to this person. Like, if you could have a real conversation and be like, oh, hey, here's some things that I see or whatever. But then you can't, because, I mean, they're however many years into their marriage and, you know...
How are you is the best question.
It's the best we can do. So, right. like, people aren't having real conversations on the right. front end about, mm-hmm. like, oh, this seems scary to me. Mm-hmm. Or this is what I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. Because then all the man is going to say is, no, you're just afraid of my strength. And that's what I'm, that's my essence.
And maybe I am. Maybe I am afraid of your strength. Yes. Girl, go. Get out of there. Yes. Yes. And that's the thing, too. Like, Christian relationships like that, especially, like, this complementarianism. But, like, that is, like, you don't have conversations. You don't need right. to. It's, like, the only conversation you need to have is with God about your relationship. Like, go to God about that. It's like, what does that actually mean? What if I am going to God and he's saying, get out of there? And I'm like, well. Like,
I think that's the devil.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's an explanation for everything when it comes to Christian relationships between a man and a woman. And it's like, but this is a godly man and he's going to lead you to Christ. He's like, well, he might also be really scary. Like, but
he should be, because that's
his strength.
That's his strength.
Yeah. It's like they're trying to be like, they're trying to make bold statements or something, and they're just getting it wrong. Even there, I've come to love when Christians use philosophers in their books. Oh, it just cracks me up. I'm like, that philosopher would not agree with you. That philosopher, if they were alive today, they would be embarrassed that they're in your book. Like, they would be so upset. And you know they're just Googling. They're like, quotes about beauty. You know that's what, like, they use a Dostoevsky quote at the beginning. I'm like, he doesn't want to be in your book. Yeah. He does not want to be in your book. Oh my gosh. So funny.
And that was the best they could do. Beauty will save the world. Write that down.
That's a good one. That's really good.
That's a good one. Put that there. But before it, because mm-hmm. we do not want these women getting too many ideas. Mm-mm. So first of all, beauty is dangerous. Let's also put that.
We have to make sure there's an equilibrium. We want them to feel empowered, but like they can't be president. But like, like don't get too many ideas.
You will save the world by inspiring a strong man.
By inviting. What was the story about the garden? The old woman's garden? She goes and knocks on the door and says, can I walk in your garden? I was like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do
that. And
that
was one of those places where I was like, who is this? Because they're never clear on who's writing. Like, sometimes they're just randomly like, oh, Stacy here. Or, yeah. Oh, John here.
Yeah.
But they don't really say. And something about that story, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure, I feel like that's probably John.
Which is worse.
Which
way
is
worse.
Awful. But all of this, this is a work of fiction. This is all made up.
Yeah, it's not real.
You're going to go knock on a door, especially if it is Stacy, as a woman. We drove to a remote area. I just needed to get close to that garden. I just needed to get into it. Like, that's John. But, like, you're just going to be, oh, just a random woman. You're just going to go knock on a random door out in a remote area.
Can I walk in your garden?
Can I walk in your garden? We're having a creep contest now with whoever answers the door.
Yeah.
Because what if it's some crazy looking man?
Right.
And like...
Right. Which is why it wasn't real. Like, there's
it's
no way.
Real.
There's no way this, like, sweet old woman comes out and she's like, you want to have a tea party? Like, she's like, just been waiting with her tray of tea. Like, she's like, yes, we can walk in my garden. And I have tea prepared for us. Like, what? That's not real.
I've been waiting for you.
Been waiting for you. Which is probably another, like, anecdote they're ready to tell. Like, the Lord's been waiting for us to walk in his garden.
To walk into his garden.
Oh, my God. No.
And he has prepared the people who will someday enter your garden.
We could preach on anything. That was, like, one of the churches I was a part of. We had to... Our staff meetings, they would be like, now we're going to play the sermon game. And I was like, oh, no. They'd have somebody sit in a chair. They'd give you a word. And you'd have to give, like, 5-minute sermon on whatever that word was. So it was like, now I have that skill.
Yeah. This is behind the scenes of Christianity, y'all. This is evangelicalism after dark. These are the...
Truly. Truly. Like, old woman's garden. Got it. Let's go. I'm ready.
Easy.
Easy.
Too easy.
Give me a harder one.
Add another element. Tea party? All right.
Also got it. Horrifying. Hate it.
Yeah. In the same way, the scariest thing for women is to offer our beauty into situations where we don't know if it will make any difference. That is not the scariest thing for women.
No.
Not.
Truly not.
At all.
Not even close. Like, not even... I'd argue that's not scary. I'm not afraid of that.
Sometimes it would be comforting.
Yeah.
Like, there have been situations where you're like, oh, I'm interested in this person. I think I would like to get into a relationship here. But if I do, that's going to mean this and this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And the best thing that could, the easiest thing that could happen here would be to be rejected.
Mm-hmm. So I don't even have to go through that. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
But just this idea that we're all just like wilting away at the thought of being rejected.
Yeah. Like, no.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And like, it just, everything's just so reductive. Like, it just puts women at just such a low level where all we care about is, am I lovely? Am I beautiful? That's the question just guiding my life. And it's open to anyone and everyone. And everyone has the capacity to just devastate me. Like, everyone's opinion matters.
Yeah.
You don't think I'm beautiful?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Right. So delicate. Just delicate little wisps walking around the earth.
Just out here, my whole purpose is to invite people in, mm-hmm. and nobody wants to come in. And I'm just out here just devastated all the
just
time.
Just waiting for a man.
Just a man. Any man. Just,
any man.
Please. Am I beautiful?
Yeah.
Would you like to come in?
The one that says yes, that's the one for you forever.
Forever.
Doesn't matter.
Forever. Red flags, be damned.
Yep, look past. Be gentle. Be gentle. Let it happen.
Praise God if he asked you how you are.
Praise be to the Lord if he asks you any questions at all.
Any questions at all, especially... about you.
And if you have a question, make sure you're not mad.
Right. Don't be demanding.
You cannot be demanding.
Stay gentle.
Don't whine.
Stay soft. Be inviting. Vulnerable.
Just better not have any desires at all. Just.
Your desire is to be beautiful and to be inviting. And
That's it. That's all you gotta do. But don't strive. Don't strive.
And only those things to men.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think we've learned. I think we've learned.
I don't care what your wife thinks of you.
Doesn't matter.
What
do the men think?
What do the men think? There is no strength in your relationship.
Mm-mm. It's not real, actually. It doesn't exist. Forget the marriage papers I have in my closet in a box somewhere. That's not real.
Nope. No.
Not real.
Because this, all beauty? What even is that?
Nope. Not real. Not real.
This whole chapter could have been fine if it was just one sentence. And the one sentence was, in this last section of this chapter, the faith, hope, and love. Mm-hmm. Unveiling our beauty really just means unveiling our feminine hearts. Okay.
Great.
Leave it there.
Done.
Let it be. And your feminine heart looks the way your feminine heart looks. Mm-hmm. Mine looks the way that it looks. It likes what it likes. It wants to do what it wants to do. Mm-hmm. And so be it. Mm-hmm. We're all just out here living our best feminine heart lives. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yep.
The problem is they have a very specific box for feminine hearts to be unveiled in. Mm-hmm. And if your heart is not in that box, you're going to have to rip it out and put it over there.
Yeah.
And make it stay there. Mm-hmm. And if you're suffering, which you will be, good.
Good. Right. Praise God.
You're doing it right. That's how it's supposed to work.
It is just, it sounds like, and it is, a miserable life. It is a miserable life.
And unveiling beauty is our greatest expression of love, because it is what the world most needs from us. When we choose not to hide, when we choose to offer our hearts, we are choosing to love. Jesus offers, he invites, he is present. That is how he loves. That is how we love, sincerely, as the scripture says, from the heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Our focus shifts from self-protection to the hearts of others. We offer beauty so that their hearts might come alive, be healed, know God. That is love.
Looking at this book from the perspective, everything is permissible. You cannot stop the Eldridges from writing a book, obviously.
They're allowed to do this. Unfortunately, they did it, and they continue to do it.
They continue. Uh-huh. And to revise, and to expand.
I know. I was like, oh, good. More. I don't think they mean revise, though. I don't think they revised a single word. I think they meant, no. They just added.
Yeah.
They could have revised their movie examples. They could have updated those, you know?
Yeah. And they...
They chose not to.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did. That's a scary thought. Maybe they did, and they were like, you know what? What's relevant today?
Maybe Harrison Ford wasn't in there at first.
They were like, we need to make this more relevant. Harrison Ford.
What are the kids like?
I think it's Harrison... Speaking of, I have so many examples of that, and being in student ministry for so long, I was like, this what we're doing? They're like, TikTok. TikTok is the thing now. That's what we gotta add some TikTok dances to our sermons. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. They did.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the good news is evangelicalism, much like the marriage between the Eldridges, is not well. It's not going good. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Mm-hmm. That
it is being blown up. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. And things like this are part of that. Because it needs to go. Yeah. But so we cannot stop them from writing books, from expanding these books, from re-releasing these books. Anyway, it's all permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Some things are wisdom, some things are folly.
An open grave. I use that in my everyday language now.
So on a scale from 1 to 10, 10, beneficial for everyone. It's a tea party. We're all invited. It's great. Come. Down to 1, harmful for everyone. Folly, an open grave.
An open grave.
Where would you put this book?
Oh, 1, for sure. Definitely an open grave. I feel like there was maybe one idea, like the feminine heart, the open feminine heart, the authenticity, the rest, the presence. I'm like, yes, absolutely. But you really have to sift through all the bullshit to understand that. And I feel like people that are being given this book or people that come in contact with this book are not going to sift through the bullshit to get to the good stuff. Very minute, like tiny good stuff. And for that, I think it is just is harmful to everyone, no matter what. Because even I was reading it and I was like, oh, I'm like interesting. I'm like getting into it and I was like, wait. No. This is bad. But the writing is not as horrible as I was expecting it to be. Some of it sounds nice. Like, occasionally I'm like, well, that was a nice sentence. So it could grab people. it could grab people, and I think that's dangerous. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Open grave for this one.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the tricks of evangelical Christianity is we're always taught to, you know, check ourselves and check our hearts. And yes, if you're suffering, you're doing something right. And if you don't like something, it's probably because it's true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's getting at something in you.
Right.
So these books, like, kind of win either way. Because if I read this and I hate it, then if I'm still in that old mindset, then I'm going to think, oh, this must really be for me.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I hate it because it's speaking truth that I just don't want to hear. Or I'm not ready for. Mm-hmm. And we still give it so much benefit of the doubt, and we will find, like, oh, okay, here's a good sentence or two, or here's here's a good thought. But it's literally like, oh, this is delicious bread on this shit sandwich.
Exactly. Yes. You're like, okay, the sauce was kinda good.
So open grave. Oh. And maybe there's a tea party in there, I don't know, but
we'll have our tea party in our open grave. How about that?
I mean, that's what they think of us anyway.
Sure. I'll be there. And we'll talk about trauma, and it'll be a good time.
Everybody who's read this book, join us.
Come on in.
You were already here.
Yep. Let's go. Yep.
So instead of captivating, what is something, book, movie, play, music, anything,
mm-hmm,
women constructed or woman focused that you would recommend?
Wow, yes. I'm trying to think of. I watch a lot of shows. I just finished watching Breaking Bad. That's not a woman constructed thing, but I finally watched Breaking Bad and it was okay. So good. What am I reading right now? Jesus and John Wayne. Great book. That was written by a woman. Great book. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend that, especially with elections coming up in a few years. So good to educate yourself on American evangelicalism and how it's turned into evangelicalism is almost synonymous with patriotism for some odd reason now. And it gives you, that book really lines up how that happened. Spoiler, the system is doing what it was made to do. Read that book. That's what I would say. That one, I'm diving into that right now, and it's a game changer. So, yeah.
It really is. Uh-huh. That is a good book. And it has, its roots are not in Wild at Heart, but Wild at Heart does make an appearance. And, yeah, big picture, these books definitely do play into,
mm-hmm,
where we are right now.
Absolutely. Like, 100%.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. So Jesus and John Wayne, excellent. And
excellent book. Yeah.
Primer on where we are and how we got here. And, like, that's us. Like, we grew up in this. It's the water we've been swimming in. And so it just kind of makes sense of, oh, yeah, this is the army we were supposed to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. These are the soldiers we were raised to be.
Yes.
And we are the miracles that got out. So.
Truly. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts? Final words?
Get therapy, everybody. Get a good therapist. There's also some, I will say, a caveat to me saying get therapy is you don't have to go to the first therapist you try. It is very much like dating. If you don't get along with the therapist of something, pay attention to your body. Ignore the Eldridges, who say don't. Pay attention to your body. If you feel like this person may not truly understand what I'm trying to say, or this person just doesn't really click with what I've been through, totally fine. Therapists are trained to accept rejection, unlike women in this book. We are trained to understand that rejection is a daily part of our practice. So you can reject your therapist. That's okay. Find a new one. It's all good. See, I'm very practiced in this preaching skill. Tie it in, always.
Well done.
Thank you.
Anything to plug or promote for yourself?
If you want to hang out with me on Instagram, I'm Elmosh Whip. My band is called No Good Opinions. We have nothing on our Instagram page yet, but we will. We're working on an EP called No Good Opinions because there are none left. We'll be putting out some music, so yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this.
This was awesome. I had a good time.
And that's that. Thank you for dropping in on the Bad Book Club. I certainly hope you had a better time listening than we did reading. Bad Words is an irreverent media podcast, a Legata Scratch production, and a God Is Not Given side hustle. Produced by Janice Legata and made possible by the generous support of Jodly and Jodwilling patrons like...
Paige. Thank you, Paige.
If you're enjoying this season, please let the people know by leaving a rating or a review on the podcast platform of your choice. And if you're looking for a better book experience, ask Amazon about The Grift of God and or The Divide by me, Janice Legata. And until we meet again, take care of you and be well. This has been an episode of Bad Words, but to finish up, here are some good ones.
I feel like my biggest thing right now is allowing women to be angry, allowing women to like feel all the things that they weren't allowed to feel. That was true for me when I was growing up. Like, a lot of my issues stem from like stuffing down emotions that weren't acceptable, and it would have saved me a lot of pain had I known it was acceptable and okay to feel the things that I felt. And not just women, I think people in general, just everyone, like, feel your feelings, it's okay, they're valid. And I would end my sermon by promoting my therapeutic services, because you always have something to promote, right? So mine would lead to therapy. Get therapy, everyone get therapy, especially if you've grown up in evangelical bullshit. Go talk to somebody about it. Cannot say that enough. I think even the things that don't feel like they were that bad, I'll tell you, they were that bad. They were that bad, and it warrants some time to talk about it. I'm definitely learning that in my own healing and working with clients, and like, I will affirm that to the open grave. If it hurt you, if it made you feel a certain way about yourself, it was that bad, and it warrants